Ladies and gentlemen, it is Monday, May 6, 2013. I'm your host, Alex Jones, and we're live at 7:06 and 52 seconds Central Standard Time. Thank you so much for joining us tonight, all the viewers at InfoWarsNews.com. Now, coming up in studio, David Knight is going to interview that New Hampshire Live Free or Die state representative who officially questioned the official narrative of the Boston bombing because of all the evidence of the drill and the false flag. So that is coming up after the news portion of the transmission here tonight. We're also going to get into the latest developments in Syria. And we are also going to break down what is unfolding with Obama and his latest statements about how, hey, don't listen to people that tell you that there is tyranny in government. So all that and more coming up tonight. But first off, our top story here today. I'm in to the show about an hour and 45 minutes. Lou Rockwell of LouRockwell.com is on, a famous icon of libertarian activism and thinking. And we're looking at Drudge Report, and they have the CNS news story. Adam Kokesh, frequent guest of the show, libertarian activist in his own right, radio host. And the headline is, he's calling for an armed march on the White House. So I think, hey, let's get him on to see what he has to say. And he comes on with a provocative statements, obviously designed for the media to say, we are here to overthrow the government. We are here for an armed revolt. But it's an intellectual revolt to show that we have our rights and can march into D.C. So I want to be clear. I don't think he's a provocateur. I don't think Adam Kokesh is a bad guy. He was in, you know, Marine Corps public relations in Iraq or PSYOPs, but he was an early person to criticize Fallujah, where he was stationed, and a lot of the abuses and war crimes that he says he saw that we know were committed there. So I think Adam's a good guy overall. Obviously, the system can provocateur this. Obviously, the system could try to demonize this, but they will do that with anything we do. I mean, hell, here in America, if I told Piers Morgan, you're a redcoat that wants to take our guns, we're not stupid. We know what's going on. We know that this is about victim disarmament. That was radical to the average American because we're so domesticated. I mean, Paul Revere called for arms to arms. The redcoats are coming. Let's kill them. That's what America was founded out of. We're like, all right, Boston Tea Party. You know, wanteth by land, toeth by sea. But now today, just getting in their face, we're not supposed to do that. Because getting in people's face is actually what gets things done. So I want to be clear. Justice be done, though the heavens may fall. I know this could be a present to the establishment, but desperate times need desperate measures. I don't think people should take children to this. Kokesh says that they're going to have their rifles on their backs, march from Virginia, where it's legal to have open carry, where the Second Amendment is still alive to a certain extent, into Mordor, into D.C., Washington, D.C., where there is total victim disarmament, one of the highest crime rates in the country, after Chicago, which also has total victim disarmament. Now, in the case, District of Columbia versus Heller from 2006, the Supreme Court was forced to rule that, yes, you have a right to keep and bear arms, and D.C., and by extension, Chicago, New York, you name it, are not allowed to have a total gun ban for citizens, and that people have a right to own firearms for their protection. I mean, look, Obama has people to guard him. All the big, you know, movie people and TV people in Hollywood and New York and D.C., they have armed guards. They have special permits that are almost impossible to get. So why can't we, as the common people, everywhere the president goes, hundreds of Secret Service. I saw today in Austin, because he's coming to Austin in 3 days, I saw the big Air Force One helicopter. You know, with the Black Hawk with the green bottom and the white top flying around Austin, I guess, testing the emperor's landing as he comes here to praise our anti-gun police chief and tries to openly push federalization of police. This is a group armed to the teeth, buying billions of bullets, thousands of armored vehicles, openly training for open war against us. How can they have guns, but we can't? How did the servants become the master? The awakening is happening, and just like with the civil rights movement, And black folks and others, joined by people like Charlton Heston, saying we're going to go to the lunch counters in Oklahoma, in Alabama, and other areas, and we're going to eat. We're going to go to the bathroom. We're going to go in the hotels. We're going to sit in the front seat of the bus. No more back of the bus. Well, the entire American people take the back of the bus. We're all slaves now, according to the feds, who have no due process, no Bill of Rights, no dignity, no Constitution. So I get open carry to show people, hey, we've got a right to carry guns. Stop trying to say they have to be locked up in our house. Stop saying that we're servants of the government. But this is Mordor. This is D.C. And so they're going to muster there at the famous Arlington Cemetery. They're going to try to march down and across the bridge into D.C. And the media is going to demonize this 7 ways to Sunday. I have mixed feelings about it. I understand why Lou Rockwell says this is a present to the enemy. But I also understand that in a country where you can't even get in a redcoat's face who wants to take your guns, where people are shocked by that, people need to have their Overton window or their normalcy bias moved from basically total Sovietization, like we see the mainstream media pushing, towards radical liberty. Because it's not radical. How do we trust the government? How do we trust the establishment to have weapons, but then we're not supposed to? Well, we can trust the government. They're professionals, like Nazi Germany, like Soviet Russia, like Maoist China. In every case, from ancient Rome to today, people that are disarmed are slaves. The first gun laws in this country were passed after the Civil War in the South because blacks were now going out and buying guns to protect themselves, and they were actually shooting and killing people that came and tried to burn their house down. It's the very same thing. Hitler took the guns after he got control. The Soviets did the same thing. It's elementary. Conquered peoples are disarmed. So, I obviously think this is a big thing that's happening. I have not done it because my instincts tell me it will be turned towards evil. But Adam Kokesh and other people have a right to be armed with loaded firearms in Virginia, and even the Supreme Court has ruled 4 years ago now, 4 years ago, that D.C. is illegally, along with Illinois and others, illegally not letting people have guns for protection. And so what they're doing is bold, and I would warn anybody that's involved in it. It's a very dangerous situation. I intend to go and cover it, but you have to support these basic rights, and you have to overall support the courage it takes to do something like this. So that's what I have to say about it. Now, the full interview from today is archived at PrisonPlanet.tv right now. And we've also just got the full interview up on YouTube for people there on the main Alex Jones channel. But we're going to go to about a 6-minute excerpt of the front end of the interview because we posted it at InfoWars.com with the headline, talk show host calls for march, armed march on Washington, D.C., overthrow of government. And that is a quote. And I went into Adam and I said, look, let's have the clarification. You mean like Rosa Parks sitting at the front of the bus, she was overthrowing discrimination in places like, was it Selma, Alabama? So this is an intellectual overthrow, and if they want to start a fight like Lexington or Concord, so be it. And he said, yes, exactly. But the media is going to take what he said out of context, so it's our job to point out they're a bunch of liars. It's just that by using those type of provocative terms like overthrow the government, armed revolt, a revolt against them saying we can't be armed, I get in the legalese what he's saying, but that will be used against him and others. So I think saying he's going to have an armed march on D.C. Is probably enough than escalating it. So that said, fortune favors the bold, and our fortune we're looking for is basic liberty and freedom. So let's go ahead and go to this clip, and then we'll come back and get into Obama engaged in his authoritarian revolution, saying you didn't build that, your small business. You didn't paint that painting. You didn't compose that song. I didn't host this show live tonight. The crew didn't get this whole show together. No, ladies and gentlemen, the government did it. The government, not my father. My father didn't get in bed with my mother and then change my diapers and work and take care of me with her. No, the government, in an immaculate conception, climbed on top of my mother, and that's how you got Alex Jones. I am the son of Obama, Bill Hicks. So let's go ahead and go to this tape. Now, joining us from Virginia is Adam Kokesh. He is an American activist and talk radio host. AdamVersusTheMan.com is his news website. And I saw up on DrudgeReport.com about an hour ago, and we'll punch that up on screen, the headline, radio host who lead an armed march on D.C. July 4th to put government on notice that we won't be intimidated, and that is CNS News. Now, they plan to march from Virginia to the bridge, and here to give us specific details first, here on the Alex Jones Show, is Adam Kokesh. He is a Marine Corps veteran of Iraq and Fallujah, and he has a lot of courage. I have never done this. People have asked me to do this many times. I've never done it because I'm concerned they'll send in provocateurs and stage something to demonize gun owners. I believe in open carry. I believe we have the right to do it. Doing it around the nation has really shown that there is a right to keep and bear arms. Adam Kokesh, tell us what's happening and tell us what you're planning.
Alex, this is an armed revolt against the American government. Make no mistake about it. That does not change the nature of the event, and that does not change the fact that every criticism leveled against what we are planning to do would be true of any act of resistance, of any open protest, of any act of rebellion. And to say, well, there are potential negative consequences as an excuse to cower before government does not strike me as something that would be said by someone who cares about risking what they hold dear to achieve what we hold most dear, and that is the liberty that is supposed to be a core value of this nation. And it's really disgusting to see that there are those who would use the exact same tactics that they are saying are potentials in order to derail this effort. That, oh, somebody might say something bad about this, so we're going to say something bad about it now. And I heard the criticism from the esteemed Mr. Rockwell suggesting that we have a peaceful event. We are having a peaceful event. And what we're going to be doing is gathering at the National Cemetery on Independence Day in the morning and mustering into a formation. We hope to make sure that this is done in the safest and most visible and obvious way possible. And if I have to personally inspect every single individual carrying in that formation to ensure that that's what it is, that's what's going to happen. We will only invite individuals, at least who are not law enforcement officers, to be there with only a rifle or a shotgun slung across their back where their hands are not anywhere near it. And it can be made completely clear that they are coming in peace while asserting their right to be armed. We are going to march across the bridge, the Memorial Bridge, into the District of Columbia, where open carry is not permitted, march down Independence Avenue around the Capitol, around the Supreme Court, and then up Pennsylvania Avenue, around the White House, back down to Constitution Avenue, and back peacefully to Virginia. What I'm going to be doing is coordinating with law enforcement. My recommendation to them is they give us an escort, and they allow us to conduct our march peacefully in an orderly manner and make it clear why we are there. However, should they decide to say that we will not be welcome in the District of Criminals, Mortar on the Potomac, we will make it clear to the country and to the world that free people are not welcome in the capital of what is supposed to be the freest nation on earth, which we know to not be true now for many, many years, and yet so many Americans seem to labor under this illusion. And just recently, speaking in Mexico, incidentally, President Obama said, I think many of you know that in America, our Constitution guarantees our individual right to bear arms. And as president, I swore an oath to uphold that right, and I always will. Well, we're going to find out on Independence Day 2013 whether President Obama and the law enforcement officers that enforce his will in the District of Columbia are oath keepers or oath breakers, and whether they're actually going to stand up for the Constitution and the Second Amendment to which they swore an oath. Should there be any meeting of physical resistance, I have declared that at least for myself, and I will ask everybody who is attending as a free individual to follow the same principles, that if we are going to be confronted physically, we are not going to physically challenge anyone. We are not going to cause any harm. We are going to conduct a peaceful event. And should we be confronted by law enforcement, even to the point of meeting physical resistance, if they do not create an immediate threat to life and limb, we will submit to the physical will of the government as it represents what it does today, and hope that we can reach out to those behind it. We can reach out to those who think that they should be able to affect the actions of others through the coercion of government rather than the persuasion that we as libertarians hold superior. And we are going to find out where this country stands come this Independence Day.
All right, and again, that's just a six-minute excerpt or so. The full excerpt is now up at prisonplanet.tv from the 30-plus minute interview today. Very important to get that out to people. And look, you got a group marching to the White House to defy tyranny openly. A lot of timid people don't want a physical revolution to start in this country. I don't want that either, because I think we're winning the info war. But the paper tiger of the foreign banking cartels that have occupied D.C. and that believe they're above the law, this is certainly a shot across their bow politically. I mean, I've been to D.C. four or five times the last decade, and every time I'm there, I'll be at the Washington Monument shooting, you know, cutaway shots, things you've seen in our films, and cops will walk over and go, "You can't videotape here." I'll go, "What's the law?" And they'll go, "The law is I'll arrest you." And then I saw them do it to, like, families with kids who'd be videotaping with their family. And of course, I was there with a independent film channel crew who went and tried to get permits, but you can't get permits to something that is already the First Amendment. And then they would say, "No, you can't be in the park 100 yards from the monuments or anywhere in America." And, you know, now they're telling kids, you can't, at your commencement speech, when you're valedictorian, say, I want to thank Jesus. You individually have a right to your free speech. The state can't have an official religion. So the hoax of telling the military they can't pray at chapel, or that they can't have a Christian chaplain — they've got Muslim chaplains and others — they're saying, no, no Christians allowed now. This is a persecution of Christians. Why has Christianity always been persecuted? You need to ask yourself that question. Well, Christianity was at the forefront of ending slavery in Rome about 1,600 years ago, or a little bit more, actually, about 1,700 years ago now. The truth is, the establishment does not like Christianity. It likes everything else. You've got to ask yourself why. Not the establishment Christianity, but the real thing. So this is a big deal, what Adam Kokesh is doing. I'm watching to see if the media demonizes this, or if they ignore it because they're so scared of it. Because the image of the police arresting people when the Supreme Court has ruled that you can open carry. And again, even in Texas, you don't see guns in gun racks, even in rural areas anymore, because the cops will pull you over, get in your face, and harass you hardcore. And that's why I've said we should have open carry rallies. And we've covered open carry rallies. I have the awesome police chief in studio. I bring 50 cals in to say, "Hey, you're a little uncomfortable by this. You've got a loaded gun in my studio on your hip. I feel totally fine with that. I've got a gun right here underneath in my radio studio." We need to get a gun right here, too, I think. No, everybody ever comes in here on us, and we're not going to just lay down and get in a fetal position like they teach kids in school. So I got to be honest. I totally get what Adam Kokesh is doing. It's just that in a country where people couldn't handle me getting in Piers Morgan's face and saying, "Look, you redcoat, you want our guns. Everywhere you're in control, you take them. You want a monopoly of force. And if you try it, it's going to cost 1776 part two. Do you got it?" The timid public can't even handle that. Imagine this. I think you're going to see some coverage of this, but not as much as you'd expect, because they're scared of this. You know, I was talking to an Esquire reporter just a few days ago who was visiting with us, and he's a big national reporter, John Richardson, one of the biggest profile reporters in the country, probably in the top three. And he said, "Well, we can't stand up against the tanks and helicopters." And I said, "Well, we've already won the hearts and minds of most of the military." And I said, 100,000 U.S. troops couldn't hold Baghdad. And we're more armed than the average Iraqi. It's over. Okay? It's over. It's the beginning of the end. The New World Order is dead on arrival. And I don't say that from some chutzpah-fueled, bravado-fueled, macho-fueled place. I'm the last one that wants violence. But let me tell you, none of us are going to your FEMA camps. I mean, we could see you stage the Boston bombing, clearly stage. The guys are on CIA payroll. Patsies you set up. You kill the one brother. The other brother gets out of the boat after you shoot it up. The media's got a camera on it, so you can't kill him. We watched the scanner, heard the audio, video of the scanner from Boston on Ustream. So did 2 million plus people watching it with us simultaneously. I ran in here and went live early at like 6:45 because of it. And the cops are like, no, no, abort, abort, after we shoot it up. Because the media is on it now. And then he stands up. He's fine. They're like, how the hell did he survive all those bullets? They cut his throat out and then announce, as I predicted, he admits he's guilty. No judge, no jury, no proof, not even him saying it. Just they could grab you or I, throw us in a dungeon and say we admitted to killing. You know what? Jeffrey Dahmer didn't do it. Alex Jones did. You know what? The Romans didn't crucify Christ with the Jews. You know who it really was? It was Ron Paul. They could grab him, put him in prison. He can't speak for himself. Ron Paul admits he got in a time machine, went back in time to kill Christ. You're like, well, that's ridiculous. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, after they tortured his kids, after 4 years of being waterboarded, seven years, confessed to bombing buildings that weren't built until four years after he was incarcerated. That's where the 4 years comes from. He might as well have confessed to, you know, killing Lincoln, for that matter, back in the 1860s. So there's where I stand on this. I have mixed feelings about it at my gut level, and I know that things can be provocateured. I don't think Kokesh is a Fed, but I think he is operating on a lot of adrenaline, and he did work in PSYOPs for the Marines. And if he is a deep cover operative, he's super slick. I've met him in person a few times. I don't think, my gut doesn't tell me this is a setup. But you know what? I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there in D.C. to cover this on July 4th, 2013. I'm all in 2013. And we're going to have observers there. And I'm calling on an army, thousands of people with cameras to be there. Because the pen is mightier than the sword, to cover every angle, and I believe then they'll back off, won't have a false flag, won't have a provocateur event, and we'll just probably arrest Kokesh when he tries to cross the bridge. And then we'll have a Supreme Court case. So we win, win, win. So for all the timid souls out there, stop being afraid. None of you are getting out of this alive anyways. This thing, this New World Order, just blew the generator. It is cutting the power. In a couple hours, it's going to be absolute zero in here. A couple hours politically is a couple decades. Of course, I'm quoting the 1980s, Kurt Russell, one of my favorite sci-fi films, The Thing. But this thing isn't getting out of here alive either. None of us are going to make it. But this thing isn't going to get out of here either. It wants to go to sleep. It wants us to go to sleep. It wants to just grow slowly. That isn't going to happen. We're going to force the confrontation. We're going to expose. Just think of how they tried to deny the 2 billion bullets. Think about how they tried to deny the armored vehicles. Think about how they tried to deny the checkpoints. Or TSA was groping people for years. We show the video and discredit them. They're used to just lying and we just accept it. We don't do that anymore. And the human consciousness, the will to be free, is what is driving us now. And now they're trying to buy the bullets up of anybody that can manufacture them. Now Senator Inhofe has confirmed, that's up on Infowars.com today, that indeed they want to keep us from getting bullets. If they can't buy all the guns up, if they can't ban the guns, they'll just ban the bullets by telling every manufacturer, we'll buy whatever caliber you make, as many as you make. They're buying hundreds of thousands more a week, millions every month. Because they're desperate, they're scared, and they can't control the situation. They're using an old authoritarian model in the 21st century. They thought they'd use the web and the soft kill systems to dumb us down and bring this in. But just like insects of the third generation become resistant or immune to pesticides, there are some of us that are immune to you. And all of your crap only makes us angry. All of your manipulation only wakes us up that much faster. All of your attempted domination only confirms to us exactly who you are, you rat bastards, you scum of the earth. So you will fail. Now I want to shift gears here tonight at 7:31 Central Standard Time. I want to shift gears to Obama urges grad students to reject warnings about government tyranny. No, government's only killed 260-plus million people, non-military deaths in the 20th century. Government's killed about 10 million conservatively, according to the University of Hawaii. Also, Chicago Business had a number that came up, similar numbers. In fact, do we have the democide graphics we've shown before? Yeah, well, it's fine. I mean, I know we're live, but if you can, while we play these videos, or maybe even pull them up on YouTube. We've done countless reports on democide. We can just play the YouTube, because I know you're busy on that switcher finding all these articles. He came out and he said, hey, basically, it's you didn't build that part, too. You got MSNBC saying your kids don't belong to you, they belong to the state. You've got seven czars quoting Mao Zedong, the greatest mass murderer in history. He's killed double what Stalin and Lenin killed combined. Mao Zedong conservatively killed 3.5 times more than Hitler. And they got frickin' restaurants in Denver, Colorado, and L.A. where trendies living on the back of liberty and free market, on the skeletal remains of it, go and toast communism. You'll just wait when you're in a forced labor camp if we're unable to stop these scum, you fools. They have a relish for domination. They have a relish for slavery. They've got Al-Qaeda murdering Christians and Muslim minorities all over the Middle East right now. And our government publicly funds Al-Qaeda like you're fools, like you're idiots, like you're morons. So let's go to Obama saying, you know, government doesn't do everything. It's not, you know, it's not like it's the only thing, but, you know, you didn't build that. So here he is, diametrically opposed to what the founders and common sense showed. You get a big, super wealthy, powerful government. All the special interests are going to go pay it off to shut down their competition, arrest their critics, and create a monopoly. And then production and diversity and competition dies. And you become Mexico, you become Nigeria, you become North Korea, you become Russia, you become France that is collapsing under an average tax rate of 75% right now. You know, Warren Buffett is now making record profits, $49 billion in extra cash, a 51% increase in profit. And they admit in the Bloomberg and Reuters articles that he got it from banker bailout money. He created fraudulent derivatives like Bernie Madoff. But he said, I'm too big to fail. So you sit there and pay him money so he can fund deadly vaccine programs to kill people. And then he pays the prostitute media to sit there and tell you how great he is. This is how sick it is. Let me tell you what the government built. The government built the lowering IQs, the autism rate from 1 in 25,000 to 1 in 51, the Tuskegee experiment, the million-plus dead Iraqis, the tyranny, the shutdown jobs, the sweetheart deals with China to shut us down. That's what government made. Government, the bigger government gets, watch your whole future go out the frickin' window. Let's go ahead and go to Obama quoting Mao Zedong to a bunch of people whose degrees are going to be worthless unless they get a job in government.
We, the people, chose to do these things together because we know this country cannot accomplish great things if we pursue nothing greater than our own individual ambition. Unfortunately, you've grown up hearing voices that incessantly warn of government as nothing more than some separate, sinister entity that's at the root of all our problems. Some of these same voices also do their best to gum up the works. They'll warn that tyranny is always lurking just around the corner. You should reject these voices. Because what they suggest is that our brave and creative and unique experiment in self-rule is somehow just a sham with which we can't be trusted. We have never been a people who place all of our faith in government to solve our problems. We shouldn't want to. But we don't think the government is the source of all our problems either, because we understand that this democracy is ours. And as citizens, we understand that it's not about what America can do for us. It's about what can be done by us together through the hard and frustrating but absolutely necessary work of self-government. And class of 2013, you have to be involved in that process.
Enjoy the silence. You know, I tend to lay out so much info that sometimes it gets lost in the mix. But let me just very calmly take a deep breath and go over what you just heard. I'm sure most of you caught that. He's saying you're part of the government. And how dare people say that we can't be trusted? You're part of the government. And how dare other people who aren't part of the federal family, as Homeland Security calls it, how dare you say that we can't be trusted. So you are the government. You are with the government. We decided to build this big government, the biggest one the world's ever seen. And there are people that say we can't be trusted, but we're a democracy and you want this big government. This big government is run by six foreign banks that steal $85 billion a month in QE3 for the last year and a half, and hundreds of billions before that, $150 billion of it in a year went to Warren Buffett. Last number I saw, $300 billion went to Berkshire Hathaway in the last 4.5 years since 2008. I mean, my God. Since October of 2008, $300 billion. In fact, guys, show the viewers out there, just type into a search engine, Warren Buffett, biggest recipient of bailout. He'll get a $150 billion number. But that he got $44.5 billion of that from AIG. The point is that, of course, he's lobbying for higher taxes, and he goes and gives speeches to college people and says, you know, we need to have rich people pay more because he's offshore and exempt, and he knows you don't know the details, and he's laughing at you. You know how angry that makes me? Buffett, champion of bailout, is also its biggest beneficiary, McClatchy Newspapers. And that's an article from 2009, and let's go into the numbers. $700 billion. That was just part of it. And that guy got $400 plus billion dollars of it. AIG got $150 billion of that. All right, just get it off there. The point is, ladies and gentlemen, is these numbers grow and grow and grow. And Homeland Security is there to make sure you don't wake up to that. And Obama is up there saying, hey, you're part of the winning team. You're part of the government. You're part of the federal family. Guys, type that in. Janet Napolitano tells federal workers they're part of the federal family. Federal workers told they're part of federal family. They're the family, the La Cosa Nostra, our thing, their thing. And they will get to be like France, where the average person pays 75%, and people that make $1 million, a million euros a year, it's about $1 million, they pay 75% of whatever they keep after 75, and it turned out all the bureaucrats and all the insiders and all the socialists last month weren't paying any of the taxes and still aren't and aren't going to, and the French burned down a bunch of stuff. But you didn't see that in our news, did you? There it is, federal family. Yeah, there's Michael Savage covering. Profile of Janet Napolitano, Michael Savage covers it. Point is, that came out a few years ago. The federal family. They put out emails going, oh, federal family. What about the American family? So let's play what Ronald Reagan had to say. I'm going to play three or four clips in a row. Even though Ronald Reagan actually expanded government along with the Democrats, at least he had good rhetoric. Hey, if you got a business, you didn't build that. We need a domestic security force just as big and just as strong as our military. This is pure authoritarianism. This is classical authoritarianism. Let's go to these Ronald Reagan clips from decades ago, and then look how far we've come with Barack Obama, who isn't even a real socialist. He's run by foreign banks gang raping you. Here it is.
Present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
I think you all know that I've always felt the nine most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
But I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers. Whether we believe in our capacity for self-government or whether we abandon the American Revolution and confess that a little intellectual elite in a far distant capital can plan our lives for us better than we can plan them ourselves. You and I are told increasingly we have to choose between a left or right. Well, I'd like to suggest there is no such thing as a left or right. There's only an up or down. And regardless of their sincerity, their humanitarian motives, those who would trade our freedom for security have embarked on this downward course.
And again, I can't disagree with that. I mean, that's America. That's Thomas Jefferson. That's George Washington. That's what made us great. Socialism doesn't work. It gets a bunch of crooks in. Things are okay for about a decade. Then everything goes bankrupted. And then they rob people even more until everything's collapsed. And even the elites can't get good food or get good shelter, even though they've got people out in forced labor camps. Because forced labor camps don't produce rockets. They don't produce electrical systems. They don't produce cars. North Korea cannot make a car. North Korea has to pay for power out of China. North Korea can't even produce power. And they could 60 years ago. It doesn't deliver. It doesn't work. And instead, we've got a fascist system sitting on top of socialist system with a bunch of deadbeat yuppies who think they're trendies and think they're liberal when they're authoritarians, thinking they're part of the federal family. You got that scumbag federal operative, Obama, and Romney, who worked for the very same people. He'd done the same thing. Up there lying to you off the teleprompter, how you're part of a winning team, how you're part of a great deal. He's a con artist. That man couldn't speak from the heart if his life depended on it. He's not real. A real president wouldn't be flying around like their god with red carpets. Our presidents didn't have red carpets until about 60 years ago. And it's a joke. They're not movie stars, and movie stars are nobody as well. What counts is the character that you stand for, what you develop, what you build, what you create, the literature you produce, the art you produce. Not reading lines, not reading off a teleprompter. It's disgusting. You know what the red carpet meant in ancient Greece before they became democratized? The red carpet meant they were the gods. The gods walking on the blood of the lesser humans. A stinking red carpet. A disgusting abomination. And notice, everywhere they go, they have armed troops protecting them, and they hate the fact that you have the ancient right of self-defense for yourself. Let's go to some founding father quotes that I know will be like high noon to a vampire to those of you that think you're part of the federal family out there and are on power trips. The good news is most of those in the federal family are awake now as well, that they're working for Don Corleone. Let's go ahead and Don Corleone is an angel compared to you people, the fictional character. Let's go to quotes by Adams, Franklin, Jefferson, and George Washington. First quote, John Adams. Fear is the foundation of most governments. John Adams. That's why they stage terror attacks or let them happen. Let's go to Ben Franklin. Here's a quote by Ben Franklin. They who can give up essential liberty to obtain a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety. And the full quote goes on to say, and they will not get liberty or safety. They will become slaves. They will be delivered into absolute despotism. Let's go to Thomas Jefferson. Experience has shown that even under the best forms of government, those entrusted with power have in time and by slow operations perverted it into tyranny. Thomas Jefferson. But Obama says don't look for tyranny. Don't look for tyrants. I knew this was going to happen. Hello. Oh, my God. It's so good. You know, I had this weird thing. I knew you'd call me when I was doing a live transmission. I'm during a break right now. No, I want to talk to you because it's been a while. Can I call you in 5 minutes? All right, man, I'll call you back in 5 minutes. All right, thanks, bye. I had to take that call. Anyways, yeah. Idiocracy. Anyways, let's continue here. Second Jefferson quote. Let's go to that. My reading of history convinces me that most bad government results from too much government. Thomas Jefferson. That's right. Now let's go to George Washington, who they demonized. Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force. Like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. George Washington. Now let's show you some examples of the tyranny running rampant that Obama says don't worry about because none of it's happening. You know, tyranny's not around the corner. No, it's sitting on our lap. It's actually crammed us down into a porta potty and it's, sitting on top of us. This is the New Orleans police chief. All the guns will be taken. Just like Boston coming and putting people's hands up. Any excuse they've got to come dominate and set that precedent, here it is.
You say guns will be taken?
Yeah, no one will be able to be armed. We will take all weapons. Today in New Orleans, they got a lot tougher on the holdouts.
Police department at your home!
Not only the flooded areas, but New Orleans' driest and wealthiest neighborhoods, too.
Police department!
The police and National Guard going street by street, house to house, sometimes entering open houses with guns drawn and instructions to disarm anyone inside. That happened today in this wealthy neighborhood where homeowners had armed themselves to protect their mansions. Residents were handcuffed on the ground. In the end, police took their weapons but let them stay in their homes.
They were a little bit threatened because our weapons were bigger than their weapons.
Chris Montgomery says he'd rather be in Iraq than patrolling American neighborhoods.
Walking up and down these streets, you don't want to think about the stuff that you're going to have to do. Somebody pops around the corner.
Let me shoot an American.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah, and ABC was salivating over that idea. Now let's go ahead and go to Feinstein on what she plans to do with your guns. Here's Dianne Feinstein.
We can't have a totally armed society.
If I could have gotten 51 votes in the Senate of the United States for an outright ban, picking up every one of them, Mr. and Mrs. America, turn them all in, I would have done it.
Highly militarized weapons, easy to shoot, big clips, 100-plus bullets in each, large velocity guns, falling into the hands of grievance killers.
I carried a concealed weapon. I made the determination that if somebody was going to try to take me out, I was going to take them with me.
I recognize it's an uphill battle, but I also know that these events are going to continue.
Oh, yeah, you smile about that. Yeah, you know, don't you? And then you, with guilt, can blame us when there's an event. When guns frustrate crime, a 49% drop in violent crime, FBI's own statistics. But you hate those numbers getting out, don't you, Witch? And you hate the fact that we show what a hypocrite you are. What about government killing 260-plus million people, mainly with guns? What about that? What about that concern? What about that real threat? That's what we're talking about. Finally, source, Israeli airstrike on Syria, coordinated with al-Qaeda militants, and even the UN has come out and said, look, it's the militants with the nerve gas. This is a war crime with Syria being attacked by the West for 26, 27, 28 months. It's like 28 months, 29 months, actually. Like 2.5 years almost. This is a hardcore war crime. And it's wrong. And it's evil. And again, the West are the ones attacking Syria. And then Israel's now bombing them because they can't get the Congress to do it. And it's just such a crime to be giving heavy weapons to al-Qaeda to do this. So that's it for this edition of InfoWars Nightly News in the news portion. We're going to go to break and come back. Great job of the crew doing the live show. That's 49 minutes of live transmission. We're going to now bring David Knight in here to interview the state rep who's been talking about false flags in Boston. So I'm going to get out of here and bring David Knight in, and we will continue with this transmission. And please don't forget, we are putting it all on the line here. Become a subscriber to PrisonPlanet.tv. You can share it with 11 people who can watch simultaneously with your username, passcode. Subscribe to the magazine. Give it as a gift subscription to wake people up, InfoWarsStore.com. And the more you support us, it's like buying your war bonds against the globalists, the more we can do. So InfoWarsStore.com. Shop with the good guys. We're free market. We're not like the government forces you to give us money. We support. You know, put out the info, fight the tyranny, and then you support us with the donations, buying the books, the videos, the ProPure water filters, the Seed Center at InfoWarsStore.com. If you believe in what we're doing, support us, and we'll up our game against the globalists. And so far you've done that, and you've seen what's happened. So turbocharge us, and we will go all the way against the New World Order, in, through, and beyond. We'll be right back after this quick break with David Knight in studio. Authoritarian control freaks throughout history have sought to make populations dependent. The United Nations openly has talked about using food as a weapon against the Third World and the industrialized First World. State Department Memorandum 200, developed by Henry Kissinger, called for destroying the food capacity, not just of the United States, but every country in the world, so they could use food scarcity as a political weapon of control. Just a decade ago, less than 10 million Americans were on food stamps. 4 years ago, it was 25 million. It's now reached almost 50 million. Socialist health care is designed to destroy our health care system. The establishment wants you to be a bunch of cowardly, dumbed-down people who can't stand up for yourselves. That's why they're rushing to try to restrict citizens owning firearms. Because since the early 1990s, gun ownership has gone straight up, while violent crime has gone straight down by 49%. And globalist-controlled strongholds like Chicago and New York, where they've taken the citizens' guns, have the highest crime rates in the world. What am I getting at here? The system doesn't want you to be self-sufficient. That's why I promote the fact that you should go out, buy firearms, and go take lessons and learn how to use them. I want you to stand up for your birthright of liberty and freedom. During a serious meltdown, they're going to tell you, hey, you want food? Turn in your guns. And that's why we need to put the globalists in check. And then finally bring them to checkmate by being self-sufficient, by being prepared, by having a garden, by learning how to can your own foods, by having friends and family and community that will stand together. But at the heart of that is having quality, storable foods. And that's why I went out more than a decade ago and found the very best food company to be my sponsor, eFoods Direct. They're the company that I personally use for my emergency food storage preparation, whether it be for natural disasters or the tyranny that is intensifying. So give them a call, 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex to find the weekly and monthly specials. And there's a lot of other reasons, privacy, you name it. When you want high-quality storable foods, you go to the experts, and that's eFoodsDirect.com/Alex to find the full list of specials.
The two-week food supply provides one adult with 81 servings of healthy, delicious, storable food for 14 days.
A one-month food supply provides 192 servings for 28 days.
And then there's the one-month family food pack. It will change the way you look at the food in your pantry. Every time you eat one of these meals, you are eating healthy, delicious food and saving a lot of money.
The three-month food supply, 576 servings of storable food for 91 days.
And the one-year food supply will provide you with 2,304 servings of healthy, delicious, storable food for one full year.
Your meals are as delicious and nutritious tonight as they'll be in 25 years.
Bottom line, there's a bunch of specials at eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. You can also call them at the toll-free number on your screen, and they can send you a catalog with all the specials detailed and tell you about the weekly and monthly specials that they're always running. eFoodsDirect.com/Alex to find all the specials or call the toll-free number. And so in closing, when you buy from eFoodsDirect.com, you are supporting the radio broadcast, the nightly news, the magazine, the films, and everything we're doing. Because we're not like MSNBC or Media Matters that get government and corporate funding to bring down America and bring in tyranny. We are funded by our sponsors and you, the viewers and listeners, that support them. Again, that's eFoodsDirect.com/Alex or 800-409-5633. And we are also visiting InfoWars.com or PrisonPlanet.com. You can click on the banners to take you to the weekly and monthly specials. It's like the Hank Williams Jr. song, A Country Boy Can Survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run because these boys were raised on shotguns. Well, there aren't really a lot of good old boys left anymore, are there? And those that are out there are demonized and are enemy number one by Homeland Security. And good old boys come in all shapes, colors, and sizes. They're people that aren't chumps who understand that they're going to take care of their family and that nobody else is. They're people that understand that if somebody else is taking care of them, that makes them a slave. And that the government doesn't want you dependent because they want to build a great future for you. They want to get you dependent so they can social engineer us. So the answer is get self-sufficient, become men again, and tell the New World Order to go straight to hell. Alex Jones signing off for InfoWars.com and eFoods Direct, our great sponsor.
Well, when Dan Bedondi went to the press conference and asked if this could be a false flag event and mentioned InfoWars, it caused a surge in traffic both to InfoWars and to people who are looking to find out information about false flags. And our newest edition of the magazine has a lot of information about false flags. As a matter of fact, it's the cover story. It's a history of false flags. And if you look at it, it goes over, says why government should be the first suspect in any terror attack. And there's a good reason for that. Because going back all the way to Nero, it starts out with Nero, goes back to the Spanish-American War, World War One, the pretense for starting World War One, Hitler's justification for invading Poland, the prelude to World War II, Israeli false flags, a very important one right here, Operation Northwoods. That essentially, this one right here, before the Kennedy assassination, Kennedy stopped that, but it is a declassified document that basically has the same type of civilian terrorism that we saw at 9/11 and also in the Boston bombing, suggested to be used to demonize Cuba and as a pretext for invading Cuba. And then, of course, we have the Gulf of Tonkin in the Vietnam War. That was used to justify our involvement in Vietnam. And if you don't believe us, you can look at Secretary of Defense Robert McNamara's statement on a movie called The Fog of War, where he admits that the Gulf of Tonkin did not take place, that it was something that they hyped up, that they used it as a pretext to go to war, and it wasn't that the U.S. was attacked. They just used that story to make that, to give a justification for going into the Vietnam War. So that's why we believe whenever there's an incident like this that is going to be used to try to change domestic society in a fundamental way, as they did after 9/11, we should look very carefully at the events surrounding it. And especially looking to see if there's a drill going on. That's one of the hallmarks of modern false flag terrorism. Now, other people have followed what we've said. One of them is Representative Stella Trimbley. We'll be talking to her in just a minute. And when she mentioned that, she came under withering attack in the media. She was even compared to Tamerlan Tsarnaev by the Huffington Post. They said that she and Tamerlan were both reading from InfoWars, and essentially implying that all of us are terrorists, just like Tamerlan Tsarnaev. And that's very troubling, considering the fact that he was convicted in the media and by the government without really having a trial, without really having an examination of the facts, just making the assertion that he was a terrorist, that they acted alone, the two brothers, and that was the end of the story. And that's largely been bought by most people in this country, except those who are looking at false flag terrorism. So we have an interview with Representative Trimbley coming up here, and she's taken a lot of abuse for this, and we want to talk to her about her experience with that. Representative Trimbley, thank you for joining us. Alex wanted to commend you for standing up and asking some questions. I don't know when it became a virtue to not try to find out what the truth is in a given event, and when we see things that are not adding up, I think most people would want to ask why.
Well, may I make a comment first?
Sure.
I would like to let everyone know that I'm not representing the Republican Party of New Hampshire. I'm here as an individual.
Mm-hmm.
And that I never stated that I did not have any sympathy for the victims.
Oh, absolutely.
On the contrary, it those who really want to find out what happened, and they're so important to find out, we need to get to the truth. That's basically what I'm calling for, a complete investigation, not with the FBI involved, because as Howie Carr says in Boston Radio, you cannot put the wolf in charge of the hen house and expect truth and a full report to come out.
Absolutely. You know, I think it's something that we've said here is that you want to make sure that justice is done. And justice is done means that you get everyone who's involved, that you get the full story, that you don't just find somebody that you can quickly arrest and say, that's it, that's the end of the case. We want to know what the entire story is. And the concern that we have is that it looks at this point like it's very doubtful it's going to go to trial. So there's not going to be the kind of discovery that you would typically have in a trial. And yet everybody seems to have just decided that this is a done deal. They're guilty because the government says so. And I find that to be very troubling. It's almost like we had the NDAA being put into effect by the media. Nobody, you know, just the mere accusation from the government is enough to make you guilty.
And even our conservative voices on the media are jumping on the bandwagon. They do not realize that when we scrub our first our rights of a trial, innocent until proven guilty, we are setting a precedent for ourselves in the future. Does no one ever realize that?
Everyone was so concerned about NDAA, and rightfully so, that the government could just label someone as a terrorist and then do an extraordinary rendition to another country or send them to Guantanamo or something like that. And yet, what we see here is that the government, on just the flimsiest of evidence, actually no evidence at all, at this point, they have not shown a video even of the younger brother setting the bag down, as it's been alleged that he did. The governor said he was very convinced by the evidence, but he was never even shown the video that the FBI claims that they have. All we've seen is a picture of the two brothers walking around the corner of a building, and that is enough to make these guys into terrorists from what we've seen.
Well, if that can happen, anyone that maybe is against the government and they find out about it could be walking anywhere, and they can get framed so easily without any trial. That is absolutely unconstitutional and goes against every grain that all Americans should absolutely abhor.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's our concern. It broke today that Rob Lowe had retweeted an article from the LA Times saying that no burial place would accept the body of Tamerlane. And he commented after he linked to that article, he said, "Love it." And the only criticism that he got from people was that he was gloating over this and that perhaps he shouldn't be gloating over it. But everyone seems to accept the fact that if the government and the media accuses you, then you're guilty. I mean, basically, these guys were tried in the media, and I find it very disturbing that there's a lot of connections to them and to the CIA. For instance, we had Cybele Edmonds on, and she was talking about how Uncle Ruslan, who was the first one to throw their brothers under the bus, is the son-in-law of the former CIA head of Turkey in the Caucasus, which is where all of this is happening. She's very concerned that this is another false flag operation like Operation Gladio, which has been well documented by the Italian press. And she says, based on her experience as an FBI translator in that area, that she believes that after the fall of the Soviet Union, when we no longer had a Cold War enemy, that they were looking for some new kind of enemy, and they shut down Gladio in Europe, but continued it in Turkey and the Caucasus as false flag terrorism.
Well, I had never heard of false flag or black ops. I always swallowed whatever the media said without even questioning.
You're not supposed to look at any pictures except the ones that the FBI tells you to look at. That's the thing I find most amazing. You know, remember that press conference where they got out there and they said, here are the pictures of the brothers, do not look at any others, but we need you as our eyes and ears. And it's like, well, there were so many people that were taking stills as well as photographs at the finish line, it seems like they would want to look through those pictures, but we're not supposed to look at those pictures. There's a lot of questions about what was happening at the finish line, as well as the narrative about the brothers, even the fact that they had been telling everybody they were looking for black backpacks, and the younger brother has a white backpack, and they explained that as, well, he had a white backpack on the outside and a black one on the inside, and he would leave that there and walk off with a white one. And it's like, well, if he's that smart, why doesn't the older brother do the same thing? If that's the technique, why would one of them do it and the other one not? I mean, there's just a lot of unusual things about the crime itself. But I guess one of the things that bothers me as much as the details of the crime is how it's being used to essentially excuse a martial law takedown of the city. And I'm very concerned, and I want to hear what you think about this, I'm very concerned about that becoming a template, just as we saw no-knock SWAT team raids become a template after Daryl Gates premiered them in L.A. It spread all across the country. And we've already had a couple of militarized sweeps in other cities following this incident. But I think this is really, as some people have said, this is really the real drill, was the martial law. How do you feel about that?
I feel that's correct. And I think that going for a list that you have to list your guns and where they are, that's a perfect example how they can come to your home once they know that you're registered and just completely come in and take your guns. And the other thing that I've observed, if I may, this article of Tim Rowan shows, I finally started to look at the pictures, and is it Carlo Alvarez who said that he was there helping Jeff Bowman? Mm-hmm. He said that he took his shirt off and he put the, he tried to stop the bleeding, which is a wonderful thing to do. But when you look at him, and he also said that the, this is on the article, you have to take the time to read the article. He also said that on the second, the first one, he said he could not see anything because there was so much smoke. But the first, he said, right after the smoke came out, he started, he made a picture, not took a picture of the first victims that came out in a wheelchair. So the wheelchairs were already there. I don't understand. Mm-hmm. And then the second paragraph of the article, he said there was so much smoke that he could not see that he went up to the finish line where the photographers were higher up. Is there not a discrepancy there? I don't know these things, but these are questions I would like to get answered and have the stories put straight.
Right.
And it's in writing. So these are things that I never looked at. You see, we're in a society that so much is happening around us. We're so busy. We do not take the time because there is so much. I don't even believe the reporters sometimes have the time to thoroughly investigate because of this correction, as you saw.
Right. Well, I guess the thing that really sticks out to me is, and the thing that we were looking for from the very beginning, was whether or not there was a drill. And that's why that was the first question that Dan Bedondi asked, I believe, was if there was a drill, and he could not get a definitive answer from that, because what we've seen time and again is that if there is a drill going on at the same time, at the same place, with the same scenario, that is a hallmark of false flags, because it creates confusion for first responders. Nobody knows if this is real or if it's a drill when something like that is happening. So we had reports, eyewitness reports, saying that there were bomb-sniffing dogs, that there was a whole slew of officers both at the starting and at the finishing line. And we were told by the police chief himself that they had more people than ever before and they were paying special attention to the finish line. So all of that, as well as the way that it is used, all indicate that to us that it's a false flag because they're using it for an agenda. And I guess domestically the thing we're concerned about is this martial law agenda that we saw unfold in its wake in Boston to turn the whole city into a lockdown, essentially looking for this one kid who turned out to be disarmed. And then the other thing we're concerned about, as Sybil Edmonds was saying, was even an international agenda, something that could forward the cause of war with Syria and eventually Iran with this false flag terrorism. I don't know. Or how do you feel? Just we're almost out of time here, but briefly, how do you feel about the way the raid was conducted in terms of looking for this suspect?
Well, here you have all these police officers. They have helicopters in the air that identify the Boston police, I believe, identified someone in a boat, and mm-hmm. yet they're going, and they were going to call it off, but yet they go around and knock on people's door and then treat them like criminals.
Absolutely.
Americans should not be able to stand for that.
Yeah, I it bothered me that you had so many people, and I don't know if these are people who are actually rousted out of their house at gunpoint that were cheering USA, USA in the wake of that. That's the thing that we're very concerned about, is that people could embrace this kind of what we consider to be tyranny, violating all of the tenets of law enforcement and respecting people's homes and their privacy. They said it was voluntary for people to come out, but when somebody points a gun in your face and tells you to come out, and then calls out voluntary, that's kind of like the same kind of volunteerism that we see at the TSA at airports, isn't it?
Exactly. And it's like fear does terrible things to people, and they don't think logically. Mm-hmm. And the fear that they think, allegedly, perhaps some government element is behind this when we're spending so much on defense— Mm-hmm. is absolutely astounding for people. It's very, very, it causes so much irrationality, well, and it did to me.
And I guess the last thing is that if you even follow the government's narrative that you know, this is something that they can handle with additional personnel, with additional funding. If we look at what they were saying with the creation of Homeland Security, they needed to create a giant bureaucracy because there wasn't sufficient information sharing between the different agencies to catch these terrorists. And yet here we are 12 years after they created Homeland Security, and they're using the same excuses. And we see that they've got an army of police and other responders at the finish line, and yet they can't catch these guys that supposedly they've been tipped off about. So even if you accept the government's line that this all happened exactly the way they did, it seems to me like a real fool's bargain to say that you're going to trade off your liberties for security, because they don't seem to be able to handle that.
Well, coincidentally, I watched a program on Frontline, I think it was on April the 30th, and it was showing that there is a third-party contract. There's a lot of money in espionage, apparently, and it's three times the size of the Pentagon, and it's all around Washington. They do not answer to our Congress.
Right, yeah. Well,
that's another fearful...
Absolutely. It's a big money-making enterprise, just like the military-industrial complex that Eisenhower warned us about. Well, thank you so much for speaking out. Thank you for asking questions. Is there anything else that you would like to say briefly just before we end the interview?
Those who remain silent, it will be to your detriment. We need to be alive and awake and ask questions. And if there's nothing there, that's fine. But please, be diligent. Get away from your telephones, I mean your television, and devote some time to learning about historical events, especially recently, so that we can really get a great investigation going, an honest and truthful one.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. Thank you so much for speaking out, Representative Tremblay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, what she said is exactly right. I can't think of anything that is more dangerous for us personally or for this society and the idea that we should just accept without question anything from the government, any story that they give us, no matter how implausible it seems, no matter how contradictory it seems, and no matter how many times they change it, we're supposed to just accept what they say. Well, we don't believe that's true. We question it. We do research. We have links to documents that are online. And if you want to have a resource that will help you to convince people, take a look at our newest magazine. As I just mentioned, it goes into a history of false flags. And you can pick that up in bulk, spread that around, or just get a copy and pass it to your friends and neighbors. Some people like to research stuff online. Some people want to only read print. So we offer both of those things for you. And if you want to support our operation, please consider getting a Prison Planet TV membership. You can share that with up to 10 people. And that's another way that people can be woken up. Well, that's it for our broadcast. We'll be back tomorrow at 7 Central, 8 p.m. Eastern.